The scripture passage this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. That's on page 851 of your pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. After I read the passage, we will sing the Gloria Patri. So please stand for the reading of God's holy word. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Amen. This is God's word. After I graduated college, I had the opportunity to live in England for a year. And I remember one day ordering a sandwich from a restaurant, and I couldn't make out what the waitress was trying to say to me. And I asked someone else what she was trying to say, and I couldn't make out what she was saying. And I realized then that I'd only thought that I had been speaking English my whole life, but I was really speaking some other dialect. Well, if you've ever lived outside your homeland, you may know that kind of experience. You have to leave everything you once knew, and you have to go to a place perhaps you haven't seen before. And when you get there, life looks very different. Well, this morning we are looking at our great forefather Abraham, who was called to leave everything he knew and go to a land that he had never seen before. He was past his prime. He had nothing to offer God, and yet God used him anyway. He lived in tents like a pilgrim in a foreign land. And he longed, even when he was in the promised land, for something greater. And this text is calling you to see yourself like Abraham, as a pilgrim in a foreign land that does not satisfy. And the question is, how do we live a life as a pilgrim in this world, a foreign land? And the answer that it gives is that we do so by looking forward to a promised place, and by loving a promised person. We live life as a pilgrim by looking forward to a promised place and by loving a promised person. So let's talk first about looking forward and hoping in a promised place. Abraham was like a refugee or an exile. He was called to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, which was his father's homeland, and to go to a promised land. And that land is later described as flowing with milk and honey. It's a beautiful land that we are told. It's a taste of heaven. And yet, it's not heaven. Our text says in verse 9 that Abraham settled in the promised land, living in it as if he were in a foreign land. He was not satisfied with the promised land. Even as great as it was, he was looking for something greater, for something better. He sought a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Something that couldn't be taken, in other words, something that was permanent. And we all know what it's like to want something permanent. Everything around us is changing. Perhaps your job changes, or your family may change, or our bodies change. We get old, and we long for something that is timeless, for something that's permanent, and yet time will continue to march on. Abraham and Sarah felt the same longing for something permanent. They found life unfulfilling. In verse 16, it says, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Notice how that is phrased. They desired a better country. We can talk a lot about desires as if they were a bad thing. Abraham and Sarah desired something else beyond this life that would fulfill their cravings. And sometimes in the Bible it might sound like desires are a bad thing. James will say in chapter 1 of James, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desire and enticed. And it sounds as if it's a bad thing. But here, in this passage, desire is a good thing. Abraham desired a better country, an eternal city. And there are other desires in this chapter that are commended, even strong, powerful desires. It tells us that Moses considered the reproach of Christ of greater wealth than even the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for his reward. So Moses, also a forefather, had a strong, powerful desire for a reward, and that was a good thing. God commended that desire. And so the question is, what is your desire aimed at? Desires can be a very good thing, even strong, powerful desires, but what are they aimed at? C.S. Lewis once said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what it's like to have a holiday at the sea. We're far too easily pleased. The problem with our desires is when we aim to fulfill them with the things of earth. The earth is just a shadow of heaven. And in this passage, it's telling us the way that we get through life like Abraham and Sarah as a pilgrim is to put our longings and our desires upon a heavenly homeland where our desires are truly fulfilled. So where are your desires this morning? Are they on earth, in the things of this earth? Or are they in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? We look forward not only to a promised place, but we get through this life as a pilgrim by loving a promised person. If you have ever played sports or played a musical instrument, you might know what it's like to audition or try out for a team and be chosen or to be passed over. And Abraham was chosen. Among all of the people on the earth, Abraham was chosen by God as his treasured possession. But it wasn't because of anything that Abraham had done. It wasn't because Abraham was so great. In verse 12, look with me, it says that Abraham, there's a small phrase in there, was as good as dead. Abraham was just like a dead man when God called him. He was like a dead man walking. He was 75 years old, if you go back to Genesis. He was without any children, no line, no heir. And even when God called him, he continued to doubt God's promise over and over again. He slept with his wife's maidservant, Hagar. He lied about Sarah being his sister instead of his wife to Pharaoh. And Sarah, too, she encouraged him to sleep with Hagar. She laughed at God when God told her that she would bear a son. They were great sinners, huge sinners like you and I. But look at how lovingly they are written about here in this passage. They are commended here. It says, by faith Sarah received herself power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. That doesn't sound like the real Sarah in the story, in Genesis. And that shows, not that the writer is some sort of fabricator of lies, it shows that God is a gracious and a loving God to sinners. He looks over your faults if you put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. And if you're here and you've made big mistakes in life, there is grace. You can trust that there is a God who loves you, who cares for you and blesses you and desires to bring you into a heavenly homeland where your longings in this life are really fulfilled. And God does bless Abraham here. Abraham is given many descendants. He is one of the most revered figures in all of Scripture. We look to him as our father. And yet, Abraham and Sarah, according to this passage, were without dignity and without honor in their life. It says they dwelled in tents. They were strangers and exiles on the earth, even though they were God's royal offspring. They had the status of a pilgrim. It says Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. He left his loved ones. He left his father's family. And in that day and age, in that culture, to leave your family didn't just mean leaving relatives. It meant leaving your security, leaving your job, leaving your protection. And Abraham was called to give that up and go, and so he did. And yet he would live his life as a pilgrim, even in the promised land. So what does that have to do with you? Well, the son that was given to Abraham would be the line through which the Lord Jesus would come. And he is the one who offers you grace and hope and love and forgiveness of sin. And if you have put your faith in him, then you are Abraham's child. You are royal offspring. And that means God's taken you into his royal family, and that you have privileges as a son or as a daughter of the king. And that in his book, your name is written. And in that book, your failures and your mistakes and your sins are looked over, just like Abraham and Sarah's mistakes are looked over here in the book of Hebrews. They are commended here. It doesn't mention any of their sins. And so you, too, are looked at as royalty in God's eyes. Now, you probably do not feel like royalty today, sitting in this pew. You probably don't feel like a king or a queen. And Satan will love to tempt you to think that because you don't have the outward showing of a king or a queen, that you actually have less dignity and less honor and less worth than you do in Jesus Christ. You may have made big mistakes and felt guilt and shame about those mistakes. And you might be tempted to think, what good am I? I'm a disaster. What possible use could God have for me in his kingdom? I'm like a dead man. And yet this passage is telling you God surely does use old, dead men and women to accomplish his purposes, to accomplish his desires and plans for his kingdom. That yes, he uses sinners like you and me. But you have to believe that God can redeem whatever brokenness that there is in your life, that he can resurrect dead, lifeless bones that are in the basement of your life. That he's calling you in Christ to believe in another world that you can't see. And that in this world, you're going to be like a pilgrim, like Abraham and Sarah. And that regardless of whether you live in a tent or a mansion, you are called to put your hope in a city that has foundations, that's beyond this life, whose designer is God. And you seek the same thing that Abraham sought. And you have a decision. Which country are you putting your hope in? You make a decision to put your hope in this life based on where you think you're going tomorrow. And if you think that this earth is all there is, that this is it, there's nothing beyond this life, then you will try to satisfy yourself with the things that this world has to offer you. And it will not offer you anything that will fulfill your desires. C.S. Lewis said in another quote, "If you aim at heaven, you will get earth thrown in. But if you aim at earth, you will get neither." Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. So where are your aims? Where are your hopes in life? And if you're thinking about heaven, you'll be able to let go of the things of this life. The things of this world are just this world. The possessions are just possessions. Your work is just work. It does not define your existence. And if you aim at heaven, instead of being satisfied less with your life on this earth, you will actually be satisfied more with your life in this earth. Because heaven is what you were made for. Abraham got his blessings by giving up the things of this life into putting his hope and trust and desires in another world. Because that is what you were made for. You were made for heaven, for a relationship with God, for all eternity. You were made to enjoy his presence, to have fellowship with God. And if you aim at this life only, then your aspirations are really too low. You will never enjoy everything that God designed you to enjoy in this life if you do not seek his kingdom. So has this earth ever really satisfied you? And if it has it done so permanently? Haven't you been craving more and more and been satisfied with less and less? And Satan will love to convince you that this is your home, that there's nothing beyond this life, and that you have to conserve what you have and not give it away like Abraham and Sarah when they committed to being a pilgrim, an exile. But that will never fulfill your desires if you just put your hope on this world. Jesus calls us to giving up our life, much like Abraham left his father's land to go to a place he had never seen. Jesus says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul?" And so we must fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, who is our treasure, who is food for our soul. And if you believe in him, think that the eternal Son of God left his homeland. Jesus left his royal throne. The Son of God left his royal throne to come to earth, to take on flesh. He was exiled, you might say, forfeiting his privileges, abandoned by his closest friends. He suffered. He went to the cross, bearing the punishment that we deserved, was forsaken by his Father for you and for your salvation, so that you would be loved and that you would be blessed and that you would have a heavenly homeland, something that is permanent and secure and that can never be taken, and that you would have an elder brother. You would be adopted into his family, and that you're now royal sons and daughters of the king. And that you would dwell with him in unending bliss, in perfect fellowship and in satisfaction. You would have unending joy and fellowship with him for all eternity. So may our hope, may your hope be in that promised person, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and for your heavenly homeland, that's something you will never see in this life, that there in the life to come, all of the brokenness and the suffering as a pilgrim in this life, all of the wandering will be overshadowed in a much greater glory, the glory of Christ Jesus, who is to be revealed to us. Amen. Let's pray.